The Southwest Florida Multiple Listing Service is in place to bring order and consistency to the local real estate marketplace. Today we speak with Southwest Florida MLS Director Jeff Bratton, who explains the importance of following MLS rules and policies and what happens if a realtor runs afoul of the rules. That conversation begins right now.
You're listening to The Royal Palmcast, the show about all things real estate. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to The Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sandville. We're here in the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida. I'm here today, as usual, with Jerry Johnson. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, indeed. I am also here.
How have you been?
Beautiful and sunny.
You are beautiful and sunny, right? I think we'd all agree to that. Well, I don't know about that, but
everybody would agree.
I'll be polite. Sure. You're beautiful. You're sunny. You're Jerry.
That's right.
All right. Hey, this is the show where we talk about real estate. We talk about it from the perspective of the realtor, the home buyer, the home seller, the home liver. If you live in a home, you may care about some of the things we talk about, but especially realtors and home buyers and home sellers. So one of the guests that I've been looking forward to getting for quite a while is our new director of MLS. His name is Jeff Bratton. Jeff, welcome to the Royal Palmcast.
Hey, how are you today? Glad to be here.
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. And we're glad you carved out some time. We know you're a busy man with, you just came from a board meeting and you've got fires to put out as soon as you leave the studio. So we'll keep you here a little bit where it's quiet and calm and peaceful. And we'll talk MLS. We learned in the last show that you were from Albuquerque for all practical purposes. You worked in the MLS out there. And you've been with us how long here in Fort Myers?
My third month now.
Third month. Wow. Had you ever been to Fort Myers, this area, before, by the way?
I have not. As a child, I guess my only Florida story before I came here was my parents took me to Disney World before Epcot Center.
I was there before Epcot, too.
That's my story. I'm
back in the day of e-tickets, right?
Wow. You weren't at the opening of Disneyland out in Anaheim, were you?
No.
No, none of us are that old. But I think it was like 1955 or so. But no, none of us are around then. In any event, let's talk about MLS, the Multiple Listing Service. One of the things that I think would be helpful for our listeners, particularly our realtor listeners, is why MLS compliance is so important. That's something where you're prepared to talk about here today, Jeff?
I am. Let's talk about the dirty compliance
word.
Oh, boy.
So, no, people, we always want to do the right thing. We adhere to a code of ethics, but there are lots of rules and regulations you got to keep in mind, right? What is compliance all about? Why is it so important?
I refer to it as kind of a dirty word. Compliance is in a lot of different industries. Quality of analysis, every corporation and company does some form of it. In the MLS, our compliance is ensuring the data is accurate and the statuses of the listing is reported timely. Sometimes that, when the overall agents or brokers need a little assistance or a nudge to do that, it can come in the form of a compliance email. I tend to like the terms data integrity a little bit better to use, but essentially something was flagged as a problem, and most likely it was reported by one of their peers, and it needs to be corrected because that property is probably on 1,000 websites showing that incorrect information, and it could lead to some problems down the road if not fixed.
Hmm. What are the most common compliance issues that you've seen?
It's a kind of a two-part answer. There's the top issues that our own agents in our market would report to us, but then there's also what someone like me can see under the data. Just because someone's not clicking a button to report something to us doesn't mean it's not there. So as far as what agents are reporting, it's some key information on a property that has thrown off their ability to search for the right properties for their buyer. One of these has to do with the accessibility of the property to being accessible to the Gulf or on the waterfront. For Cape Coral, for example, there is a lot of canals and pathways. And sometimes me and my staff, when we get one of these reports, we'll use our finger on a map and try to follow, if our finger's a little boat, can we get to the Gulf? And if we get blocked, like we're in a freshwater canal, then we have to work to have the agent correct that. Other concerns coming in are with missing facts on the information or incomplete information that they can't use to fill out their offer or best advise their buyer. Missing photos is another one. But as far as what I'm seeing internally, some of the things have to do with the assessments or the taxes being not being accurate. Some things that the agent has to do a little bit of work on researching through an appraisal office or a website for the city or county to be able to get that answer right.
I know one of the things we've seen recently, and I don't know if this is on the increase or not, you tell me, but there is a box that can be checked on the MLS form, see details, that requires further explanation, such as details, which are promised when you check that box. Sometimes people don't provide the details, right?
Right, yeah. When one of our brokers or agents is entering that new listing, it's not something that can be done in 5 minutes. There are a lot of contractual and property details that need to be entered. Some take a little bit of research to the tax office, but when there are about 40 fields that let you choose see remarks, and so if I have going across a feature for the type of waterfront it has or the heating system, and instead of picking one of the options for the type of heat, I just put see remarks, that's supposed to mean that I'm going to be explaining to other agents in my remarks what that feature is, what's so special about it that I couldn't identify in another checkbox. Now, because we have over 40 of these fields that let you choose see remarks, we find a lot that don't have any remarks. And so that can be seen maybe a little rushing through the listing too quickly, just trying to enter fields to submit it to active. It's not just the photo and the price. Even though our market is moving quick, and some could say, all I need is a picture and a price and an address to sell it. Maybe that's true, but all that data is still valuable. Appraisers need it. Other agents and buyers and investors who are looking for those properties need all that data.
So filling out this MLS form when you want to create a new listing, it's not something you're going to do on your phone during a red light on Colonial Avenue?
No, or waiting in line for brunch. No. I mean, you can go meet with your client and print out the input form and have all that there. And I suppose if I had that reference sheet with all the answers, I could try to put it through on my mobile phone, but I need to prepare at least, maybe 15, 30 minutes to put in a listing if I don't have the data already.
So what are examples of some of the details that might be missing? You said there are about 40 different fields that contain that option. Could you give some examples?
Sure. For any of the primary home features, heating, cooling, landscaping, security system, the amenities with the HOA, usually, defining what type of system that is that's going to be heating the property or cooling it, or what kind of windows. There's a variety of different ones.
If it's a roof, for example, and you checked see details, and you might say in the details replaced 5 years ago, that kind of thing, right?
Well, let's say for a roof, it could be different types of shingles. It could be stone tile. It could be a steep pitch. I don't know if we have them back in New Mexico is the flat roof. I don't know if there's any flat roofs here, but the type of feature that is. But when I put see remarks, it could still be, I could still fit in one of those other categories. Mm-hmm. I could have still picked shingles. Mm. But when I don't check anything and see remarks and I have no remarks, then guess what? The buyer runs across this on a website, and or an agent's trying to find the right property for their buyers, and they're not able to tell anything to their buyer about the heating or this, because it just says see remarks and no remarks.
So depending on how hot the market is, that they might just skip by that property and rather than take the time to find out what the real information is that's missing.
I don't think we're in a market right now where they have the luxury to skip.
Right, no.
Because but something's got to give, and then if the agent representing the buyer can't reach the other broker to find out what that is, that's when we're here to help, and we're back to that compliance. So we do spend our fairish time with my staff working to have these remarks described in better, more on these features, or to ask that they not check C remarks when there was a better appropriate choice.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, we're going to have to take a very quick break here, Jeff, if you don't mind, but if you'll hang on through the break, we'll come back with more information about the Southwest Florida MLS with our guest, Jeff Bratton, after this very brief message.
Hi, I'm Andrea Dillon, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
I'm Ray Saraceno, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, this is Sandra Aguilar, President of the Women's Council of Realtors Cape Coral Fort Myers, and you are listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Education, you need it, we've got it. I'm Angela Foster, Director of Education at Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. If you're a realtor in Southwest Florida, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has the classes, courses, workshops, and webinars you need to stay at the top of your game and keep your license current. Looking to bill your continuing education hours? We offer core law and code of ethics classes to fulfill your CE requirement, along with many other courses to fulfill your requirements for specialty credits. Want to learn the ins and outs of the specific market you serve? Our A-Series provides an in-depth look at Cape Coral and Fort Myers with all the right experts to fill you in. Our Contract Series is a 5-session course on listing agreements, FAR bar contracts, timelines, and more. It doesn't end there. Classes like how to stay out of real estate jail, negotiating skills, listing tips, conflict resolution, and many more keep realtors in Lee County up to speed with the latest information. Many of our classes are free to members, and some are open to non-members. If you're a real estate professional who's interested in working in the Southwest Florida market, we've got you covered. For more information, visit our website at rpcra.org or email education@rpcra.org.
In these challenging times, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association continues to adapt, providing evolving resources and education for our members. We're here to serve our members with comprehensive, new, innovative, and alternative platforms. Through member engagement, community involvement, and ongoing advocacy for property rights, we're committed to empowering realtors with superior service and advancing support for our fellow neighbors. In Southwest Florida, RPCRA is your association.
Welcome back to the Royal Palmcast. I'm your host, Jim Sanville, along with Jerry Johnson.
Hello.
Hey, Jerry. And we're here also with our guest today. He is director of the Southwest Florida MLS. His name is Jeff Bratton. Jeff, still doing okay?
Doing great.
All right. We're grilling you pretty hard here.
Surviving.
Yeah.
But he's surviving with a smile on his face.
All right. Now, I promise you some water if you make it through this, because I'm going to grill you pretty hard here. Now, who's the good cop here, Jerry? Me or you?
I'm always the good one.
All right, so yeah. I'm going to get tough on you here.
All right.
No, it's not like that at all. This is nothing like Breaking Bad, that world you came
from. We're all good.
And
we're a team.
All right, so anyway, let's get back into the MLS, which is why our listeners are here. They want to know all about that. One thing that has always, I don't know that it's concerned me, but I've wondered about, are MLS rules consistent from market to market throughout the United States?
For the most part, they are, but there is some local flavor. The National Association is the primary charter of the associations and play a role in the rules that MLS must follow. And probably 90% of the standard MLS rules are going to be modeled off of the NNAR. And one of those big ones was last year with Clear Cooperation, and where an agent had to list the property within one business day of it being advertised for sale. That was national. Every MLS in the country that has its ownership structure through an AR had to adapt to that and roll it out very quickly. Mm-hmm. But there are some local flavors, some things that you know, Royal Palm might do differently for Miami or different from Jacksonville. And NAR does allow that, some of those local options to exist, because sometimes there's something that locally has to be disclosed that maybe isn't a factor in another county.
So an example might be hurricane issues? I don't know.
We have to, well, our geo areas are locally here to share between Naples, Bonita, and here. But you're not going to find those same G areas or requirements in Miami for that. They might have their own.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. There's lots and lots of software available through the MLS dashboard here at the association that our realtor members use every day. But with each one, there's the potential for, I don't know if there are rules around using them and how you can use that information. Are there any issues around that?
Yeah, when our brokers and agents and appraisers agree to join the MLS, they have to agree, you know, what they can and can't do with that compilation of data. And using these tools and apps to help market and sell their properties, they have to be mindful that, you know, they have a login to the data belonging to all the other brokers in the Southwest Florida area, all the way down to Naples and maybe some in Marco. So incredible responsibility with that. You know, they don't want to leave their phone out, or if, you know, they're going to have to reset some passwords or delete apps, you know, if it gets in the wrong hands. But yeah, they, you know, they can't be sharing information they shouldn't, the same way that they would use the main MLS system.
Huh. All right. Talk about some of the penalties and maybe the legal exposure that come into play when somebody violates one of the policies or rules, when they're out of compliance.
Sure. Not one of our favorite things to do at MLS is issue or levy any kind of fine or sanction against our own agents. We try our best to give reminders 3 days before to have this matter corrected. But due to the number of agents and listings we have, our rules allow us to issue fines. So I could receive a $25 fine if I don't add a photo in time. And if I still don't fix it then, these fines could go to 100 or sometimes 200. So over a course of 2 weeks or half a month, an agent who maybe not be actively checking their email or out of office or too busy might have missed all of these notices, and one day looks in their account and sees, oh, I've got to pay $300. What is all this? And at that point, maybe it's already been fixed by staff. So they're seeing a corrected listing with a huge invoice, and they're just not sure.
Yeah, you must see that more with sort of the part-time real estate agents.
It could happen to anyone.
Yeah.
But we are ultimately, our goal is to have everybody, you know, up to speed when they're putting in the listing, and just taking that few minutes afterwards just to double check and look at things, because that can go a long way to avoiding our little fines.
Sure.
That we do.
Is there anything, any rule that you could violate in the MLS where you could end up losing your license to practice real estate?
There certainly is. There's some actions that can take place, things disclosed on there that could bring in, become a legal matter, or it could be so extreme that an individual may have to face suspension. Fair housing is one. Our listings go out, thousands of websites online, seen by eyeballs all over the world. Fair housing comments, offensive things in the picture. These days, it won't take long before that shows up on the social media. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, the dinosaur in the house, having somebody in a, you know, hardly any clothes, showing how walking around in the kitchen. I've seen these come up, but you know, fair housing is a big one. Misrepresentation of information, willfully disclosing facts that they knew about. The MLS sheet that data was printed on ends up become part of the complaint and source.
Mm-hmm.
That ends up getting someone in front of a judge or a panel.
Now, apart from the MLS side of the association, there is also a compliance component with having to do with the code of ethics that our members run into every day. I mean, we have somebody on staff who is sort of a hearing officer for those. What's the function? What do you call that?
That professional standards administrator.
Standards, yeah.
Okay. That's the counterpart to what we do, and that mainly why we do compliance and accuracy of data and statuses is to help those agents remain professional in not misrepresenting information, because mm-hmm. sometimes a complaint could be filed through ethics, through our association, on almost the same problem that came out of the listing data. They could be face those kind of hearings.
Now, how about legal exposure? Could there be civil or criminal exposure?
Certainly could. We need to understand behind these listings, there are contracts, legal contracts, oftentimes done by the Florida Association or Bar Association or legally approved documents for that brokerage. And so you have parties in place with the sellers and the brokerages. And the data sheet should reflect the terms of those contracts. And then when you have the buyer enter, then you have a purchase contract. And so there's a lot of legal things going on behind the scenes on this. And not putting something in the remarks or misrepresenting something or not having the right signatures and doing something in the MLS could have a legal ramification. For example, if there's three parties... if three people own a property, let's say they own a house and they're on the title, on the deed, and only two of those folks sign the listing agreement, maybe the agent wasn't told this, and they end up putting a listing in. 2 weeks later, they get a cease and desist, or we get one. And then we turn out that they were missing that third signature. Mm-hmm. So there's our legal matter.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen that particular scenario?
Not in Fort Myers, but I have seen instances of that happened before.
Really? Yeah. Boy, yeah, there must be a lot of shenanigans that could be foisted upon our members unwittingly, like the scenario you just pointed out.
Yeah, when I was briefly licensed, my broker basically explained to me, we have a small shop of 10 agents, but we do spend a good portion of it on attorney fees. And mm-hmm. you got to have a lawyer. Mm-hmm. For your brokerage, mm-hmm. for I hope not every deal, but the state hotline is a great service. But I do know a lot of brokerages in our area have their own counsel.
Talking about the FR, the Florida Realtors mm-hmm. Legal Hotline.
That's right.
That members have access to.
Great resource, but some I know have their own counsel as well, and I have to take those tough calls sometimes from a unhappy homeowner. Who probably might need to have their own counsel in this situation, and those take a time to have a good, clear call and a voice is heard. But we have get pulled into that before.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you are a realtor, what's the best way to not run afoul of MLS rules and policies? How to stay up to speed on what the rules are?
I would say pay attention to our pop-ups and notices and announcements in our weekly newsletter. We have visit our MLS training website. We have a great trainer now, Sharon Crawford, who has put together some great programs. We revamped the orientation course. So we want to give you the agents information online to watch and learn on their own pace and their own time. To stay up to speed on the rules, because our rules may change twice a year.
Right.
And if you're out of town or a vacation in March and you missed that important pop-up, you know, it may not come up again in April or May. So you know, pay attention to our videos when you can. And we want to listen to our agents. We're still trying to discover the best ways to reach the message out. So my ears and phone and email is open to hear feedback from anyone on what you would like us, how you would like us to relay this information.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Jeff, what else would you like realtors to know about in terms of keeping their noses clean with the MLS?
Well, due to the number of calls and workload that we do, it seems we're putting a lot of fires with the compliance, but it does give us a reputation that all we do is sit around all day looking for playing gotcha games with a violation from a 60-day-old listing, and that we just want to collect the fines. Our fines up going to charity, by the way, to a housing charity in town. But most of the time, the issues are reported by their fellow peers. We have more things to do than staff than just go look for issues. But there, you know, there is a solution down the road, and just collectively everybody doing, agreeing to work a little bit better and diligent on the accuracy and not trying to hide things or skip fields by checking the easy option to get that thing active. Mm. It's going to take a whole group to work together.
Sure, sure. I didn't know that the fines went to charities. The Housing Foundation?
A portion of them, yes.
Yeah.
Go to the foundation. That is authorized by our local board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, must be all in the bylaws and everything. I just never was aware of that. That's interesting. Yeah, well, I feel a little bit better now. That's good stuff.
I would love to see a little bit go to the manatees, but
save the manatees.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that's not where the money goes.
No. You a big manatee fan?
Yeah, I have been. It's on my list to see, or I kind of want to hug a manatee. I don't know if you're allowed to get in the water and give them a big hug.
No.
Okay.
Now, Jerry, you had you had a pet manatee in the '90s, didn't you?
No, that was a pet but no. He did look kind of like a manatee. But
okay.
He was land.
Yeah, I'd seen the photo. I wasn't sure if I was a pig or a manatee.
No.
It's all good, Jerry.
Yeah,
it's all good. We love our pets. Do you have any pets, Jeff?
I don't, but I have a in-law's dog that back in Mississippi that he's a real, real riot. Oh. You hold him over the water, and he'll start swimming.
Sure,
I think all dogs do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a real character.
Yeah, you hold mine in front of a microphone, she'll start singing. It's crazy.
And I'm thinking of getting a shrimp tank, because I use shrimp for bait.
Yeah.
But I need a little aquarium to keep them alive for the next day.
Yeah.
So I might be a proud dad of some shrimp.
Wow. Yeah, I love shrimp. With cocktail sauce, sauteed. Any way you got them. Grow them big, Jeff, for me. Will you bring in a few?
No, they're for the catfish.
Okay. Like the brine shrimp kind of thing. Gotcha. All right. Hey, Jeff, I want to thank you for taking the time to come into the studio today and chat with us.
All right. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. And we'll look forward to having you on the show again. Jerry, thank you.
Oh, you're always welcome, Jim. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And thanks to Beata Jones. She is our CEO here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers. But most importantly, I want to thank you, the listeners, for finding us every week, for subscribing, for liking. We know you're out there. Just a shout out to a few of the cities we've heard from in the last few shows. Fort Myers, Cape Coral, Estero, Florida, of course, tend to be our biggest market. But we're also downloaded in places like Frankfurt, Germany, Dallas, Texas, San Jose, California, Boardman, Oregon, Bonita Springs, Cheshire, Connecticut, and Sebring, Florida.
Wow, we are worldwide. We'd love to hear from you, too. Drop us an email sometime.
Those are the top 10 or so download areas from our last podcast. So, we know you're out there, and we love talking with you. And even if you're not in the Southwest Florida area and you're not a realtor, hopefully you're going to pick up some information that you will find useful in your next real estate transaction, no matter where you live or what your situation is. Again, my name is Jim Sandville. You've been listening to the Royal Palmcast. Contact us to shows@rpcra.org if you have something to say. We'd love to hear it, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again each week. Share and subscribe on your favorite podcast app or YouTube. And be sure to check out our sister podcast, Realtor Riff Rap, and our video news show, Realtor's Corner, which can be found on the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association Facebook page and YouTube channel. For information about sponsorship opportunities for this and other RPCRA productions, email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.